right now, energy is the key to our AI and to our growth in data centers and really our advanced manufacturing growth. So I've been
keeping the lights on during a winter storm, for example.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, you know, when you look at that, I am surprised. But I think the main thing is, look, I come from the oil and gas industry. So I've seen all the cycles from coal to natural gas, peaker plants, you know, solar, renewable, wind, all. And I think what we need is energy. Mm-hmm. And it could come from any resource.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for being with us again for Yolitics. We've taken a little bit of a road trip.
It's not often we get out of the Yolitics global headquarters, but it was fun to...
It was nice to get out, except for the horrible traffic jam in downtown Dallas. We are about 15 miles south of Dallas in Wilmer, Texas, right off I-45. Yeah. And we are in a building here that I think is half a mile long, the building itself.
And we've only seen just a small portion of it, and this thing's
tiny piece of it. Yeah.
Well, we're talking about renewable energy, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, but we're really getting a firsthand look at this today. Let me ask you, first time let me start with the basics here. Do you own any solar panels?
We have trivia here.
Own solar panels? This should be an easy one for you.
I do not.
That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Do you
didn't prepare for this? I do, actually. I bought them last year for I have an EcoFlow, one of those little, you know, portable batteries.
Yeah.
And, you know, freaking out into the world, stuff like that.
You're a prepper.
Like,
I mean, that's well known that you're a prepper, right?
Yeah, I'm a prepper.
How many canned goods do you have at home?
I buried a school bus under my house full of it. So, yeah, I have everything you need. But there was a deal on eBay for, refurbished one of these batteries, and you can buy 400-watt solar panels with it, too. Hmm. I didn't know how heavy these things were, and they are... super heavy, heavier than the car battery that I bought to go with this. But it's fascinating to see. And I remember 1982, going back a few years, I went to the World's Fair. Have you ever been to a World's Fair?
I have not. Where was it?
World's Fair in Knoxville, Tennessee. Knoxville. And I remember going to the U.S. Pavilion, and all it was about solar panels. Hmm. This is the future. Didn't Carter install solar panels on the roof of the White House in the 70s when he was there?
And so they were saying this is the future
in
1982.
And here we are, 2026, and you don't own any solar panels.
I still don't.
I've been let down by all this.
And, you know, they're making a lot of them. So, you know, maybe soon because they're cranking them out here. I think, too, when you see a lot of these big solar farms that you can drive past in Texas now, or you see, you know, solar panels on the roofs of houses, you think, well, where were those made? They were probably, you know, shipped in from somewhere overseas, China, for example, which, you know, cranks out a lot of these. It turns out, though, that more and more of them are now being made in the United States, and even with components now that were made in the United States. And so a lot of that stuff has onshored here in the U.S., and that is where we are today. It is a factory called G1. It is operated and owned by a company called T1, which is based here in Texas.
I'd like to buy a vowel.
And we've got Jaime Wally with us, the chief operating officer here at T1 Energy. Thanks so much for being with us today.
And appreciate it.
This place is stunning and enormous, and it's fairly new.
It is. So the facility is about 1.3 million square feet. We started production in November 2024, first modules coming out of the lines. We have seven lines here at the facility, and those lines were commissioned in April of 2025.
So brand new.
Brand new.
And before you go further, there's a little bit of trivia about the size of this building, because I mentioned it's about half a mile long. Tell us the distinction for this building in, as far as the state of Texas goes.
Well, when this building was... it was the largest facility that was available, and that's the reason in the whole state at that point. Now that's changed.
Yeah, data centers and so
exactly.
forth getting bigger and bigger.
Yes.
But you all held the distinction for a period.
For a period of time, very short.
So you guys produce 25,000 solar modules a day? Is that right?
Per day. So our operations are 24/7, and we produce about 25,000 modules per day. Each per hour, we're looking at around 1,000 modules per hour.
And if you're watching this instead of listening to it, is this one solar module right here?
That is one solar module. That is our larger scale solar module.
This is like the size of a dining room table, and you guys are pumping out this many a day, which is striking here.
That's a good size dining room table, if that's your
is yours
dining
not
room
that
table.
Big? You no, don't have a lot
not.
Of people over. It says a
I
lot
don't
about
have
you,
many
though.
Friends, yeah. So well, I only need a one-seater, actually.
I've known you 20 years, never gotten an invite, so that makes sense as well. But for someone, though, Jaime, who has never seen this before, put this in context. You guys are pumping out 25,000 of these a day. How much of an impact is that having?
So our facility, we're 5 gigawatt nameplate capacity here at G1, and that's about 10% of the solar module capacity in the U.S.
Wow. From this facility?
From this facility.
Wow.
In the whole U.S. And just before we go on, because I know that a lot of people get caught up on this, and I have to look this up every time I hear gigawatt, megawatt, like, okay, what does that translate to? What does that mean? And you even see variances when you start looking that up. But a good rule of thumb from what I've seen, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is that 1 gigawatt can power about 750,000 homes. Mm-hmm. That's what I've seen. So if you're getting into, you know, if you guys got to full capacity here, you're doing 750,000 homes times five.
Exactly.
That's how much power can be generated by the modules you all crank out in
exactly.
1 year. That's extraordinary.
Exactly.
Why Texas? What made this, of all the places to go, and then why this area too? I'm thinking solar modules. I'm thinking West Texas, wide open landscapes, clear vistas. I'm sure that's where you guys probably ship to, but why not manufacture out there?
Well, definitely. I think from a Texas perspective, what we liked about Texas was really the environment here. It's a very business-friendly environment. It's also, when you look at the solar capacity growth in the U.S., it's really the fastest-growing state for solar capacity additions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're looking at right now the market, you know, we have about 45 gigawatts of solar capacity installed, and we should see rapid growth into 2030 really to fulfill the demand from AI. This area over here, again, the building, when we purchased this facility, it was just because of the size of the building, and there was not any other areas. But I think from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, it's key, correct? You have 45, I-35, I-20. From a transportation perspective and logistics, it makes a lot of sense as we're shipping our goods, not just within Texas, but across the U.S. But in all reality, Texas, the environment in Texas and what we're seeing overall in the state made it a really friendly place for us to establish. We also have a facility that we are building, a solar cell facility in Rockdale, Texas, which is in about an hour northeast of Austin, Texas, and that's going to be producing our solar cell, a little bit more highly advanced manufacturing facility, which will be employing about anywhere from 15 to 1,800
That's interesting.
Well.
So what you're looking at there is almost sort of this vertical integration where
exactly.
you not only, you know, create the finished product like what we see to the right of Whiteley here right now, but you're creating the components now that go into this finished product so that you're not having to ship those in necessarily from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And just so, you know, people understand, this is a module that's sitting
yes.
next to us. It's the finished piece like you'd see in a field or on top of a roof. It's also called a panel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that's what most people call it.
And
then the little individual rectangles inside this are
the cells.
The cells, mm-hmm. and that's what you all would be producing in Rockdale.
Yes.
And then if you get down further from that, it's like little tiny wafers inside the cells.
So the wafers, definitely. So our goal is really to be the end-to-end domestic, you know, focus,
which is a sea change.
Yes,
here in the U.S.
Yes, exactly.
I mean,
you know, the polysilicon chain is really very important, not just to the solar industry but also the semiconductor industry, and that's what we're focusing on. It's really bringing back that technology that was really invented here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
taken overseas, and we want to be reshoring that technology and reshoring that advanced manufacturing in the U.S. And within that, enabling the supply chain, correct? That's very important, the supply chain of different products that go into our modules.
Mm. So 25,000 of these a day here. Who's buying these? Because Wheeler doesn't have them on his house.
Yes.
He has a hell of a house.
I don't have it yet.
Huge I might be selling some today.
I know. So, yeah. We'll make sure he gets out of here and put some in the back of the car.
Exactly.
But these are mainly commercial use. You do some residential, but mainly
yes.
it's commercial use. Are these
exactly.
AI data centers, big Amazon places? What
so
are these for?
So majority of our customers are utilities. Mm. Utilities, IPPs, or developers of the large-scale solar farms. And that's who we sell these to. Alongside, you know, they usually have deals with the AI, the data centers, et cetera. But I think it's really focusing on the utility or large-scale farms.
You know, it's interesting, too, because Texas is the leader now in utility-scale mm-hmm. solar. And people may not know that, you know, it's thought of as an oil and gas state. But, you know, we've all seen the wind turbines out there. The battery storage has become a bigger thing. But solar is the king as far as new installations go. You know, if you look nationwide, and I don't think a lot of people are aware of this, we've been consuming a lot more power mm-hmm. because of these data centers and crypto mining and all that stuff. Utility scale solar was 64% of all the new generation capacity that was added to the grid in 2024. Yes. That's stunning when you think about solar being responsible for that much of an expansion of our, you know, electric capacity. More than 25% of all the solar that was installed last year was built in Texas. Those installations went in Texas, and 35% of all the planned future solar projects are in Texas yes. in this year and looking at next year. I mean, those are stunning figures.
It is, and I think solar, when you look at solar energy and solar installations, solar is the most scalable at the moment. And the key is, as we're looking at power growth in the U.S., electricity growth in the U.S., it's really, it's not just about cost, but it's about time for installations.
They call solar the sprinter.
It is. It's the capacity. For example, when we talked about our facility, we could produce 5 gigawatts of panels per year. You know, so if you look at the demand that we're seeing in the market, you know, we could continue to produce these, and we could, if necessary, build another facility. But for us, it's, you know, looking at really demand that is being driven now by data centers, by AI, by advanced manufacturing, and really solar is really the most scalable and really the quickest to market when it comes down to providing that electricity.
A lot faster than building a natural gas plant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're looking at about, let's say, with everything, about 1.5 years for the solar and mm-hmm. about 2 to 4 for, you know, let's call it combined cycle.
Mm. We did a podcast episode with Pablo Vegas, the CEO of ERCOT, the grid manager okay. in Texas last year. And he was talking about how renewables are really saving our butts here in Texas. Mm-hmm. And solar is going to be one of those things, just because you can put it up easily. It's going to save Texas. But here's what I'm curious about. You guys have this massive facility here, Jaime. What happens when these data centers get built out? Where will the demand go from there? Approaching a cliff in 5-6 years when these things get built out, or is there a build out timeline?
I don't think there's a build out timeline. I think they'll continue, correct? Because everything is a forecast, correct? And it depends on the AI demand.
Yeah.
I think it'll continue to grow, correct? So I think as we're looking at it, we should continue to build solar. We have advanced manufacturing. We'll continue to have AI demand centers. And then you'll also have a replacement cycle for a lot of these solar farms. So I think overall, from that perspective, we believe, you know, solar is here to stay. And I think that when we look at it, is a lowest cost, you know, power supply that
sure.
you could have. So from that perspective, you know, we think that there's going to be ample demand for our product.
So this boom that we're in right now, you don't see it slowing down anytime soon then?
No.
Of course, there's always politics, and that's why Yolitics has come to T1. There's a lot of politics that happen around solar and energy in general. I mean, before we get down into mm-hmm. that, are you ever surprised at how politicized energy is? I mean, you start looking at like blogs or posts about, you know, electricity generation, you know, a lot of it coming from solar or wind or whatever. And I mean, you read through the comments and people are just going nuts at each other. And it's very political and it's very divisive. Are you ever surprised by that?
I have been, because when you look at energy right now, energy is the key to our AI and to our growth in data centers and really our advanced manufacturing growth. So I've been
keeping the lights on.
Keeping the lights on.
During a winter storm, for example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, when you look at that, I am surprised. But I think the main thing is, look, my background, I come from the oil and gas industry. So I've seen all the cycles from coal to natural gas, peaker plants, you know, solar, renewable, wind, all. And I think what we need is energy. And it could come from any resource, correct? And I think that's where we have to go to. It's like, let's think about energy as a whole and not just separate it into the renewables or oil and gas or coal. Let's think about the demand and the supply that we need to fulfill our
does it know. Help to have that perspective as a former oil and gas
it guy? Does it yeah. does and I guess one of the things and you know I look and this might be a little bit off but I look at kind of our panels let's say that's the hydrocarbon correct and then the hydrocarbon gets put in a truck which is the pipeline and that pipeline then goes up over to you know power generation plant or a solar farm developer so it's very similar correct all we're doing is we're just capturing the solar energy you know very similar you know it's just about let's call it molecules so
you know every time I talk to lawmakers state lawmakers they always say privately we've got to have everything we've got yes. to have everything but in Texas as you well know lawmakers like to beat up on renewables And the thing that I hear constantly is that renewables only work because of subsidies. What's your reaction to that?
When you look at it from a cost structure now, even unsubsidized, solar is the cheapest source.
Even unsubsidized.
Yes.
So when you hear that argument from lawmakers, and I know you hear it because you you have a background in oil and gas too, what do you say to yourself, or what do you say to your colleagues and your friends?
Yeah, so I think it's just been, you know, as we're looking at the expansion of the solar industry overall, what we've seen is a fairly quick decrease in the cost of solar power versus other power costs. And I think that's where a lot of, let's call it, a lot of people get caught up, is that before, solar was a highest cost or a higher cost source of electricity. Now what we're seeing is when you look at our levelized cost of energy calculations that are being put out there, you look at solar, you look at batteries as really some of the lowest costs.
Well, Jaime, would solar still work though if, let's say, a giant utility went out and bought 25,000 of these things to build their own farm out in Jacksboro, Texas, let's say, out west? Would it still work if there were no subsidies out there? Would it still be worth my time as Company A to buy these as opposed to putting money into a new natural gas facility?
Yes.
Still?
Yes.
Wow.
How many watts is this again?
So this one, like I said, probably 700, 720 watts.
So I had done some math here, and that's always dangerous.
I might bring an engineer in here now because I'm not sure how this is going to be workshopped.
So I was hoping this one would be a 400 watt, but it's not. So let's pretend we have a 400 watt one sitting here. For a 400 watt solar module or solar panel, you would get a credit right now from the Inflation Reduction Act of about $28, because I think it's 7 cents per watt. Okay, and I don't know how to do the math fast enough on the. I guess it would be 49-ish or so for one this size.
Hold them to that 49-ish. Though.
So that was created by the Inflation Reduction Act, which was passed by Democrats in Congress, and President Biden signed it. It was very much along party lines there. Interestingly, you know, even though a lot of that has been rolled back, a lot of that law, that part was not eliminated by the Trump administration. How crucial is that 7 cents per kilowatt that you all produce? How crucial is that to keeping the business going and making things profitable and helping you to compete with places like China, which really subsidize their industry and can, you know, sort of flood the market with very cheap panels?
Yeah, I think it's important, correct? I think the main thing is because it supports American advanced manufacturing. And I think that's what the administration really focused on when they were looking at the changes in that law. So we're very happy that it continued to be part of that, there was no changes within that. But it's important for us because it continues to, again, help us really ramp up American advanced manufacturing and really focus on the supply chain that we provide. You know, for example, this facility here, we employ about 1,200 employees or so, you know, annual, you know, we pay about $100 million or so a year to our employees. So from that perspective, we look at it not just as, you know, here's the subsidies, but from us, it's really creating American jobs. As mentioned, our facility in Rockdale, Texas, we're looking at about 1,800.
At what point does energy policy and renewables become less polarized? We've already gone through what happened in 2021, Winter Storm Uri. Everyone knows how badly all sources are needed. At some point, it's got to become less polarized, doesn't it?
Definitely so. I think when you look at, let's call it renewable energy as a whole, and I was just kind of looking at some facts earlier. Early in February, solar provided about 60% of the supply for the power demand in Texas. So in a sense, it's...
Let's just reiterate that. Yep. 60% mm-hmm. of the electricity being used was from solar panels.
From solar.
In Texas. That was a record.
That was a record.
But it's not unusual to see 20, 30, 40% coming from solar.
Exactly.
I don't think people realize that in this
exactly.
state. And they still like get in the comment section and love to, you know, criticize this. Oh, we need more oil and gas jobs.
So we talked about the Inflation Reduction Act and the credits that you all get from that. When that was, I guess when that was sort of in the works, the U.S. was producing about 9-ish gigawatts of solar panel capacity each year. The year after that went into effect, we jumped to 16 gigawatts per year being produced here in the U.S. By 2025, that topped 50 gigawatts yes. worth of solar panels being produced here in the U.S. So it's supercharged. That law supercharged
exactly.
Investments and created a lot of jobs here in the solar industry. As you mentioned, you know, under the Trump administration, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that Republicans passed last year left that credit in place. But they also did start phasing out faster the people who install these solar panels. Mm-hmm. They phased out that incentive for them. So there's a 30% tax credit for the installation of these things. And that was supposed to last for, you know, more and more years from now. But what's happening now is this July, you have to have already started your project to still get that 30% credit, and you have to finish that project, finish installing it by the end of next year. Is that going to be a cliff for you guys? I would imagine that that could make for some great sales of solar panels now, so that, you know, people can get these projects underway by July so that they can get that credit. By the end of 2027, when they're no longer getting that credit, is that going to impact you all?
So we're not seeing that overall. We are seeing the demand, correct, for these projects they call safe harbor projects.
Is the rush on?
There is, but we're also continuing to see a lot of demand in 27, 28, and 29. Hmm. And when you look at it, definitely the credits help a lot of the developers. But one of the things that we have to start seeing is really the power prices, what the data centers, what the hyperscalers are paying for the power prices. But yeah, our demand, you know, from conversations, our pipeline continues to be fairly strong into 27, 28, 29.
So it sounds to me like the installers may not have as much incentive after that, but what saves you all is these, you know, especially these data centers that are so thirsty for electricity. And as we've mentioned, solar is one of the fastest things to mm-hmm. ramp up to meet that demand. That's what saves you after that credit goes away, isn't it?
It should. Again, from as you look at some of these projects, even some of the 28 projects having, let's say, safe harbored, so you're able to have that overall. A lot of these developers always have a domestic credit, domestic content credit, which that's what we're trying to do, again, from our building our facility in Rockdale, installing those cells into our modules here and helping them get additional credits from our products. But and overall, I think the developers are looking at ways of, you know, improving their economics. And I think it has to go all the way to what their customers are paying for that power.
Mm-hmm. How much is big tech helping out as far as they need, as Jason said, they're thirsty for electricity. Are they helping out? Are they working, you know, on behalf of you guys at all in D.C. and trying to... you know, get things rolling?
Definitely. I think you've seen a lot of, OpenAI, Sam Altman was very vocal in regards to what needed to be done to power this AI, scale up, let's call
sure.
it. Very similar to what kind of Elon Musk said in Davos, I believe, you know, that he's looking at a solar, 100 gigawatts of solar in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So I think overall you have a lot of the CEOs from all these technology companies looking at it. You have Google. I believe that Google just did a deal with AES right over here in Texas. So you have a lot of these companies really focusing on driving, you know, the demand for additional yeah. power in the U.S.
Is that all just talk, though, or is that actually materializing in D.C. and in Congress and in state legislatures as far as making sure that businesses like this are able to sustain themselves decades into the future?
Well, not sure what the I would say the word in Congress or in the political circles are.
It's always changing.
Yeah, definitely so. But I think overall they're being
they get it.
They get it. The CEOs, like I said, CEOs of all the technology companies, the hyperscalers, et cetera, definitely are pushing that agenda, that energy is the key to unlocking AI in the U.S.
How much do you, I know that you're back and forth in, all over this state, how much time do you end up spending in Austin and having to talk with lawmakers and legislators, or is that someone else's joy at the company?
I've spent some time with legislators, but really our CEO and our government relations and our head of communications really spearhead that effort, and we are very vocal in Washington. We are very vocal in Austin as well.
And do you get listened to?
We do.
Yeah.
Okay. We do. And again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we're all about energy. Right, we're not trying to define ourselves as a renewable energy manufacturer. It's about energy and providing energy to the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And interesting thing, just because you've straddled this fence and been in oil and gas, a lot of those big oil and gas folks who are, you know, way out in the middle of nowhere, desperately want a solar or wind installation in a lot of cases near them, so that they can run their operation that's going on there, looking for oil and gas.
Exactly. Yeah. You've seen a lot of when you look at the Permian Basin, you've seen a lot, you know, from wind to we talked about earlier, West Texas. You've seen a lot of these solar farms or wind farms. You know, if you look at Pioneer Natural Resources in the past, they were really focusing on building their renewable portfolio. So you look at very different ones. As they're electrifying their sites, they definitely need a lot more power. Mm.
I don't say it's all roses, but things look up right now, really, for this business and energy in a whole. But what concerns you most right now?
Really, power prices, Craig. I think the market, as we see the demand growing from the hyperscalers, we need to make sure that there is an even playing field. And we need to figure out what the demand is. How is the supply going to meet the demand? Mm. The other thing is really for us is a domestic strategy. We need to really focus on building a domestic supply chain to fulfill the demand that we're seeing here in the U.S.
And when you say power prices, explain that a tad more here, because these AI data centers and they're sucking up a lot of electricity as fast as you guys can turn these out, right?
Yes.
So explain what that means to our listeners who might not understand. You're thinking, hey, I just paid a lot of money for my last electric bill here.
Yeah, we might be complaining about the bills now and not even thinking about what they might be in a year or 2 years or 3 years.
And that concerns you, though, right?
Data centers come online.
It concerns, but it concerns me, but it's also where we come in to create that solution.
It's an opportunity for you guys.
Exactly, by manufacturing the solar panels here and helping that demand from not just from residential advanced manufacturing and hyperscalers. What I meant by power prices is we have to see, there has to be an increase in kind of the commercial side of the power pricing, just so that we can then follow on the demand path that we're seeing from all this, again, the AI data center perspective, because I think overall, what we're seeing, we can't keep a flat, Craig. Everything's about economics. Mm-hmm. And if the developers or utilities are not building fast enough, then we're not going to win the AI race. Mm-hmm. And so we need to have kind of an even playing field in its manufacturing against the developers and also the customers.
To put it very mildly, the Trump administration is very pro-fossil fuel, not so much with green energy. How much does it help your case, though, to be able to say, we're American owned. We are, you know, now creating our own factories to create the components for these panels. We are now moving into, you know, if we look at this one, it's got an aluminum frame, but now you're looking into this year expanding into steel, U.S.
Yes.
steel on these. How much does that sort of help the conversation?
It does. We have very strong relationships with partners. Corning, for example, for our polysilicon.
Corning Glass, everybody's heard of that.
Corning Glass, yeah. But Corning Hemlock. Hemlock is their polysilicon producer. We also have Next Power, which ended up buying Origami for the steel frames. Treaty Oak is a developer. So we have a lot of partnerships overall.
And these are American companies.
American companies. And that's what we want to focus on, is an American-focused industry and really kind of reshoring everything that goes into our modules.
Does that open the ears a little bit more?
It does.
Of policymakers?
It does. It does, because it's all about not just manufacturing, but also about job creation and really bringing in advanced jobs, correct? Technology jobs. And that's what we're trying to do across with all our partners throughout the supply chain.
And when Texans turn on the lights here in the next 5-6 years or so, how much of that moment do you think will be powered by facilities like this?
So if we look at just talking about what we spoke about earlier, correct? 60% of,
today.
The demand today. So, you know, we could look at anywhere from 70% or so, correct? I think that, or higher. It just depends on the growth overall. So it's a tough question. I don't have the right answer for you there, Jason.
Wow. So let's talk a little bit about this facility here. It was originally constructed by a Chinese company called Trina, I believe it is. And you all were sort of out front of what was happening, I guess, in Washington and sort of the changing winds politically anyway. So in December of 2024, was it that they sold to you all?
Yes.
Okay. And then you rebranded as T1 Energy, American-based and American-run, Texas-based, actually, Texas-run. No longer a Chinese company, even though they still have like a 13% or so stake, I guess, in you. That fits easily under what came next from DC. It's almost like you anticipated it, where they started to say, hey, we don't want these big, huge, you know, solar factories that have been created here. We don't want those to be owned by Chinese companies. And so they put a limit on how much a Chinese company, you know, can have a stake, and the stake they have in you all is much less than that limit. And so that keeps you in good graces for receiving those tax credits. Are there other companies that produce solar panels that, you know, didn't get in under that threshold fast enough and might see their tax credits disappearing this year? And is that an opportunity for you guys?
There could be. Not sure in regards to how they went about in meeting the regulatory demands. Overall, we were very focused on that throughout last year, making sure that, you know, our legal teams, our executive management team, our board, really focused on that. And so from the perspective of others out there, not sure in regards to, you know, what their reliance on let's call it Chinese ownership, et cetera, is. But look, opportunities are always there for us. As T1 Energy, we made sure that we were really focused on working with what the administration had put in front, and really meeting all that criteria.
You really saw those winds changing there in December of 2024 and got in front of that.
We did. Yeah. We did. And so we started working on a lot of that early on, even before July of 25, and just making sure that we were, again, really focusing on American manufacturing.
You talked about the American supply chain, too, and how important that is. We saw that during the COVID with the silicon chips, just a few places that build those. But is the American supply chain important to you guys for economics, politics, national security, all of the above? Why is it so important?
All of the above. I think that overall, our goal is really reshoring technology. And I think that that's what we've been focusing on. We've been focusing on creating a large, advanced manufacturing company. When we look at the American supply chain, what it does, from a jobs perspective, definitely helps on the job side. And from us, is just making sure that we have that technology back in the U.S.
And that's what Republicans and the president would say. Listen, this is the whole thing we've been trying to do, is to reshore technology and industry and manufacturing. And you guys are actually living that out here.
Yes.
In Wilmer. Wow.
Yes.
For people who haven't kept up with, you know, what other countries are doing, as much as we talk about the expansion of solar here, we're like little bitty babies compared to what's happening in China. I mean, they have just been throwing solar out there. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, you look at the charts and they're like climbing to the top, and all the other countries, are including us, are way down here. If I'm a solar skeptic or a green energy skeptic, how important is that going to be in these years ahead? if we are really far behind in diversifying into things like solar, and a place like China, for instance, is just running away with it, how big of a deal is that? I mean, some people would look at it and just go, well, they just get their power a different way. But it's going. This is going to be what powers AI and what, you know, equates to power on the global stage, isn't it?
It is. It is. When you look at China, I believe, you know, they're going to be about 1 terawatt of solar energy.
Okay,
being
explain
produced.
The terawatt.
Yeah,
to
wow.
us.
So it's 1,000 gigawatts.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. So we're at 50. We're doing about 50 gigawatts
here,
a year.
But in Texas, but like in the U.S., we'll be about 182 or so.
Okay.
And so the it's we have to focus on our solar growth and solar energy growth here.
I mean, why
to
is
keep
that a big deal?
If we want to win the AI race, as we at the administration and others want, we need to make sure that we have enough energy, and I call it energy as a whole, correct, including natural gas, including no nuclear, including coal, including solar, wind, batteries. We have to improve that supply chain.
And are we going to be vulnerable in years ahead if this trend keeps up, where we're, you know, kind of down here, we're expanding, but we're kind of down here, and we've got another country that we compete with, you know, fairly robustly way up here?
You know, they've been ahead of us in some of the, let's call it, in the expansion of solar. And I think that's what we're doing here as well, correct, is bringing that technology back, making sure that the U.S. has a stronghold on manufacturing of solar, solar panels, solar cells, and the supply chain overall. And I think that, you know, with what we're seeing as an energy demand here in the U.S., we're definitely going to be pushing forward, you know, our supply of solar.
Mm-hmm. Well, so 25,000 these solar modules a day here. What would I pay for one of these if I went to go pick one up?
Depends on how many you buy, Jason. If you buy a lot of them, they might charge you a break,
I'm not sure,
a deal.
You know, I would say I.
I know you don't have a storefront out here.
Well, let me think about that. I just don't know from a competitive perspective. That's a question I could
put out there. Well, here's,
the last question I have for you. Wheeler wants to know, he wouldn't ask this, he's afraid to ask it, but he wants to know if you take Visa for one of those
charge
that he can take home today.
You know, if he's got the Black American Express, we could do a lot. We could do a lot here.
He has a coffee on his card, too, from American.
I'll have to borrow White Lace for that.
I'll end with this. So this place is enormous, and I think you see that when, you know, you look at it, you know, online or whatever, but then you get here and you look at it and this, it's just huge. And this place is humming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You got seven lines out there that are moving constantly, more than 1,000 employees. You got a whole army of robots out there, like doing the heavy lifting and working in conjunction with the people. This is a heck of an operation. Are we going to see this stay like this? Are we going to see this, you know, taper off a little bit, or are we going to see this expand and grow even more if we look out 5 years, 6, 7 years? What do we expect? What do you expect?
So this facility right now, we could probably, if we're talking about this facility overall, you know, we're capped out. We could probably put a couple of things here. We have a warehouse, we have our manufacturing areas. For us, depending on the demand that we see out there, there's ways for us to build additional capacity. You know, this facility, when it was built, we could say is we're probably the most advanced manufacturing module facility in the U.S. Things change fairly quickly, but as you could, you know, hopefully we get a chance to walk around and you'll see a lot of the robotics and everything else that we haven't put in place. So it depends on the market demand overall. You know, we have a very core teams that have experience in the solar industry. And so we're really just expecting what we see from a demand perspective.
They're built out, Wheeler. They're built out.
Well, I would say that you know, it's a pretty good build out. This place is enormous. And you
That's
know,
fascinating.
Really appreciate you taking the time, because I'm sure that there's, you know, a gazillion other things out there that you're overseeing. And this is a lot of time for us to take.
Well, no, I appreciate you guys having me.
Fascinating. Energy really is the key to unlocking AI in the U.S. That's the message here that... Yes. That I take away from this, because as much as we talked about energy on this podcast, that's the bottom line here. Because if you look at where the economy is going, where technology is going, where national security is going, it's right there.
I also walk away from this with it's sort of a reaffirmation of what we've discussed before, and you know this as someone who's been in oil and gas as well. Texas has always been known for that, but now it's becoming known just generally as an energy capital of the world, not just oil, not just gas, but also wind, battery, and certainly solar. Solar is just exploding
here. Yes.
Yeah. And Wilmer, Texas, huh? Who would have ever thought Wilmer, Texas? This place right here, and they're built out. Jaime, thanks so much for having us here. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.